Good, good stuff. Amen. Woohoo! Yay, God. Lots and lots of good things going on. Let's start out tonight where we left off a few weeks ago, Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Glory to God. What an incredible promise that is. That if you believe that you receive whatever it is when you pray, it'll be done for you. Glory to God. But that's not the end of the thought. Verse 25. And is a conjunction. It connects two things together. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Wow. Wow. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. We've been talking all summer long about your authority and exercising your faith and getting everything that God has for you. But these two thoughts are connected. Now, why would God connect the exercising of our faith with love? Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But faith, which worketh by love. Faith works by love. Love is what causes your faith to work. You walking in love with other people activates your faith. And if you don't forgive, you're not walking in love, and your faith won't work. I don't know about you. I need my faith to work. So whatever I got to do to ensure that God hears me when I pray, to ensure that when I make a command and a decree and I make a confession of faith, I was speaking to some tornadoes today, heading towards somebody that I knew, and I said, No, I will not allow it in Jesus' name. No. What is that, Rhonda? Your shield of faith. No. Can't you see my shield? I need my faith to work. You need your faith to work. And we need to do whatever it is that'll make sure our faith works. And he said our faith works by agape love, the unconditional God kind of love laid out in 1 Corinthians 13. That causes our faith to work, and we need our faith to work. Listen, this is not in my notes, but we need to be ready. If a car is hurtling at you on the wrong way on the highway, you may not have time to pull over on the side and think of everybody you've not forgiven and deal with everything you need to deal with. No, you need your faith to work now. So this is how we need to live every single day, so that no matter what the enemy throws at us, we're ready. Galatians 5:6 out of the Amplified. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Now look, I looked those words up in the dictionary. Activate. Activate means to cause something to start working. Your faith is activated by your love. Your faith causes, your love causes your faith to start working. It's the on switch. It's the on button. It's what activates your faith. To cause to start working, to make active or more active. Energized. To make energetic, vigorous, or active. To make active. Are we on something tonight? Am I the only one that needs my faith active? Listen, if you're alive, you need your faith to work, to keep you that way. To make energetic, vigorous, or active. To make active. To impart energy to. To apply voltage to. To apply voltage to. This is my little flashlight that travels with me all over the world. How many of you know everything is here that it needs to work? But in order to get this to work, I have to apply the voltage. Are you with me? This flashlight has everything because I just took the batteries out when I was coming in tonight. It works really good. Once the voltage is applied, without the voltage, it doesn't work. These batteries activate your faith. Your faith, your love walk is like the batteries that makes it so, that activates it, that turns it on, that energizes it. It applies the voltage to your faith to make it work. Faith is expressed by love. Express means to represent in words or to state, to give or to convey a true impression of, to show or to reflect. But it also means the fast lane. You ever taken the express train? No? I have. Listen. You can have a flashlight, but until you put the batteries in it, that flashlight won't work. Love is the batteries. Love is like the batteries. It activates and energizes your faith, and your faith works through that love. Everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. It's how you got into the kingdom of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Guys, that's not in my note. Just slap it up there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's faith that got you into the kingdom. And it's faith that'll carry you on till your last breath and you see Jesus on the other side. Glory to God. Everything in the kingdom operates by faith. You can't even get into the kingdom without faith. Faith is the hand that takes the things that you need from God. God said, I have healing for you. You reach up with the hand of faith and you say, Father, I believe. When you do, it's like you grab a hold of those big old power lines that come from the power company. And it is so. Everything that Jesus purchased for us on Calvary, healing for our body, peace for our mind, provision for our checkbook, our children not being carried off into captivity, everything that Jesus provided for us when he died on the cross, the fruits of the Spirit, victory over the world, victory over the flesh, victory over the devil, the fullness of the Spirit, victory over all the powers of darkness. All of those things come to us by faith. But faith must be worked by love. The Bible says we must have faith to please God. But some casually pass over the teaching that faith works by love and that God is love. Listen, one part of this flashlight missing would cause it not to work, especially an important part like the batteries. I'm glad we just got a little bit of Harvey. Thank you for not letting Harvey keep you out of here tonight. But they needed to be prepared. They needed batteries for their flashlight. They needed they needed stuff to be activated and working so they can be safe. Love is the law that operates the new covenant. Matthew 22:35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him, Jesus, a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That is the greatest commandment of them all. This is the first and great commandment, he said. That was my version. I added that little sentence in there. And the second greatest commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That word in both those places is agape. You should agape the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And the second is like it, that you should agape your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments in the whole book. He goes on to say in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hang on just a minute. Here we have the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Then Jesus said, the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he goes on to say, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. On these two commandments, to love God and to love people, hang all the Old Testament law and commandments. So the law essentially told them what not to do so they wouldn't break these two commandments. Are you with me? Let's take the Ten Commandments as an example. What's the first of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? Which of these two was he trying to get them to keep by giving them this? The first one, right? No other gods before me. On this commandment hangs this one from the Ten Commandments. It says, no other gods before me, all right? In order to get them to do this, he gave them this as an explanation of this, telling them how to do this. You do one way to do it is here. Because if you love God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, you're not going to have any other gods before him. What's the second? Thou shalt have no graven images or idols. No idols. Which one of those two greatest laws does it help us meet, help them meet? So that commandment hangs over there too. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The first one still? I thought it was interesting. The commandment started out with what God said was the most important, what Jesus said was most important. Don't take his name in vain. How many of you know if you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, you're not going to take his name in vain? Use it as a curse word. That's why when we opened the coffee shop, I told Robert, I said, we are not having any derivative of the Godhead at the coffee shop. There is no Jehovah Java. People have come up with derivatives even of Jesus to, you know, name coffee. I forget what some of those were. They're all escaping my brain. But I told him, I said, we're not going to use that name casually. I don't want even the teenage, because it started out, the coffee shop started the teenagers in a blaze. I said, I don't want them being casual with the name that they need that'll save their life in that instant. And so, you know, we never have had Jehovah Java. All right. All right. Remember the Sabbath. Remember God's day to keep it holy. Which one? First one still. I know this doesn't look very neat, but it's okay. You get the idea. Number 5, honor thy father and mother. Over here now, right? How many of you know if you love your parents like you love yourself, you're going to honor them. You're going to treat them right. You're not going to be disrespectful. Roll your eyes behind their back. All those who need that are not in this room probably. So you can say, preacher, pastor, run to tell. Get them. Number 6, thou shalt not kill. How many of you know if I love my neighbors myself, I'm not going to take them out? Thou shalt not kill. So on this one hangs that commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to steal from him. I want to bless him. Be a blessing to them. But you see how these rules are hanging off of these two basic principles, the two most important commandments. We just have a few more. We might as well finish them out. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How many of you know if I love my spouse and I love you and your spouse, I'm not going to do anything that I ought not be doing? If I love my spouse, I'll never commit adultery. It's messy, but you get the idea. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You shall not lie under oath or even just lie about somebody. Thou shalt not bear false witness. How many of you know if I love you, like I love myself, I'm not going to be lying about you behind your back? Even if I can get away with it on Facebook now. Oh, yeah, she went there. Somebody told me, it's Facebook true. I said, excuse me? They said, it's not really true, but once I put it on Facebook, it's Facebook true. How many of you know a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie, no matter where you say it and when and where you post it? If I love you like I love myself, I'm not going to lie about you. I'm not going to bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's things. No coveting. You can see easily how all of these things hang on these two basic commandments that are so important to God. These things are important to God. That you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. That's important to God. We're not going to have time tonight to talk about relationship, but it feeds in here at the end of what I'm about to talk about tonight. Because he wants to be with you. If you love somebody, you spend time with them. You give them your time. You make time for them. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On the whole Old Testament law was given, and all the commandments and all the rules were given to help them keep these two things. Do you see it? Galatians 5:14 states it very clearly. It says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, in the old covenant, they could not naturally do these things because they were not born again. So the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, all of these things were given to keep them from breaking these two preeminent laws of the kingdom. He was preparing them for our day. Jeremiah 31:33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen, once you're born again, once you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we don't have to keep all these, because if we keep this and this, we'll keep it naturally. Are you with me? This law of love is the law by which our kingdom operates. Loving God and loving people. These two same laws should completely govern our lives in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Everything in the New Covenant works by these two, including our faith. Too many people, though, don't know how to walk in love. They don't know even what it means to walk in love. Man, Love Walk, Fourth Quarter, Bible Institute, be there, aloha. I do 14 weeks in our Bible school, and I was just wondering this week if I should completely change my second year and go a different direction. I could do three whole sessions, three whole quarters, out of Love Walk. This is a huge subject. Why? Because it is so important to God. Why is it so important to God? Because it's how the entire new covenant operates. Loving God and loving people. You can make all the confessions you want to. You can quote the Bible day and night. You can fast and pray and still not get anything if you're not walking in love. The word says faith works by love. But if we're not walking in love, our faith won't work. You know, sometimes we just get so used to being so natural. Everybody at work, it's so easy to get caught up in conversations, even at work. I even have to be careful when I'm with somebody and they start talking about somebody, not to chime in. Sometimes we just fly off the handle and lose our temper and yell at people or cuss or kick the dog or, you know, do whatever we do, and we don't think anything about it because it's just life. Not realizing it's robbing you. It's costing you. Pastor only said I had to speak for the summer. It'll be over soon. Then you can get Pastor back and he'll have you running around the room and it'll all be good. But don't forget what I said. I used to laugh when I first married Pastor Mark. I used to laugh with him all the time. I said, it's just not fair. I said, God gives you the cotton candy and he gives me the spinach. Pastor will get them all going, you know, whoop, faith, and woo, woo, woo. No, everybody be running around the room, you know, and skid marks halfway up the walls. And then when they come down, I say, now you live right. But how many of you know we need both? I want your faith to work. You hear me. More than anything in the world, I want you to be able to lay your hands on a crippled child and watch God totally restore them. More than anything in the world, I want you to be able to go into the hospital and stand by the side of your loved one and command whatever is on them and taking the life out of them to go in Jesus' name and it go. That's why I'm doing this tonight. Sometimes we're believing God for something and we just don't see any movement. Listen, that's not the kind of God we serve that's not true to his word. 3 John 2. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, that things may go well with you, and that you may be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Listen, prosperity isn't just finances. Prosperity is you doing well in all arenas of your life. You can have all the money in the world, but if your body is eat up with cancer, how many of you know you are not prosperous? You can have all the money in the world, but if your children are taken off into captivity, hit by a stupid stick, living in filth and doing things that make you every day afraid for their life. You need your faith to work. This scripture reveals the will of God. It is the will of God that you prosper, that things go well in your life, and that you be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Therefore, the will of God is established. It is his will. And if God is willing to give us his best, there must be something that we're missing on our end if we're not connecting. My father in the faith used to say, if I give a declaration of faith and nothing happens, first place I look is my love walk. Am I out of love with anybody? Why? Because faith works by love. It's what activates. It's what applies voltage to your faith and makes it active. How are your relationships doing? Maybe you're having problems with just one person. But listen, that could be the very thing that's hindering your blessing. We're not just faith children of a faith God. We're love children of a love God. And listen, I don't have time to go into all everything. My brain is, I want to climb up every side of the mountain at once. I want you to know that just because, you know, you forgive somebody doesn't mean you have to put yourself back in their hand. The Lord just gave me a scripture for somebody, and it says he did not, Jesus, the great forgiver. The scripture says he did not entrust himself to them because he knew the hearts of all men. I'm not telling you You got to be in relationship, a close relationship with an abuser. Somebody who's so destructive to you. That's not what I'm telling you. Love has to do with your heart. You can forgive them while they do their time. If my faith isn't working, maybe it's because my love isn't working, but I won't know till I look. When we're rooted and grounded in God's love, our faith ignites His power. But when our batteries are damaged or low because of offense, unforgiveness, or disobedience, it affects us getting the answers to our prayers. Faith is active. It changes things. Faith will move mountains, but faith that's not backed up by love is powerless because faith works by love. Love is the force behind faith, and it causes great things to happen. God is very serious about us walking in love. The first time when I think I was in secular college, I was about 17. I started college just after my 18th birthday, I believe. So I would have been 18. I was digging into 1 Corinthians 13 for the first time. I was shocked at what it said. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 out of the Amplified. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but I have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. How many of you know we're a full gospel church? I believe in speaking in tongues. I think you need to pray in tongues every day, pray out all the mysteries of your life, pray direction ahead of you, pray provision in your life. You don't even know what you're praying. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying perfectly the will of God. I think everybody ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost and proficient at speaking in tongues and do it a lot. The Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. He must have been from South Jerusalem. More than y'all. But even if you're so proficient in tongues that you speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but you have not this agape love, you're only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You ever heard some kid just tearing into the cymbals on the drums? Is it a blessing? My brother's a drummer. And I don't know what my parents were thinking. But about birthday or Christmas or something, when he was about 5, they bought him a trap set. You know, that's a whole thing. Kid size. Well, he took them sticks, sat down at that thing, and liked to drove us all nuts. It was just noise, and it was annoying noise. Do you understand? The thing finally went to the garage, and then I think it disappeared after that. But my point is, that's what you sound like in the realm of the Spirit. If you can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but you don't have this agape love. Isn't that shocking? Verse 2. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose of God, and I understand all of God's secret truths and mysteries, and I possess all knowledge. Let's just stop there. Wow. Okay, let's tear it down. Let's say you, I'll use you. Let's say you are so dadgum spiritual that you understand all the secret truths and mysteries of God. Okay, I'm impressed. I would be impressed with you. If you could tell me how the color got in the flower. If you could tell me how two cells come together, multiply, and every cell do something different and know where to go to make a living baby. If you could know all of God's secret truths and mysteries, I would be impressed with you. And if you possessed all knowledge, I would be impressed. But God said, even if you do, but you don't have love, God's love in you, or me, we are nothing. A useless nobody? Isn't that shocking? How different his value system is than ours. How different what impresses is from what impresses God from what impresses us. You know what impresses God? Love. Agape love. And the Bible says, if I have sufficient faith. Well, let's back up. The gifts of the Spirit. You got them working so much, you know all that stuff we just talked about. I want us to look back here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's an even higher way, something more impressive than spiritual gifts that would cause you to know all those things. This is the last verse before the 13th chapter. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and the best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. He didn't say that these things weren't important. He said zealously, earnestly desire them and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces. We should desire them. We should want to see them in operation. Then he goes on to say, yet I will show you a still more excellent way. One that is better by far. Better by far than you knowing all the secrets and mysteries of God? By whose value system? By God's value system. One that is better by far, and the highest of them all. Love. Agape love. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 2. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith, what have we been talking about? Faith. So that I can remove mountains. But I have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. If you could literally say to Green Mountain or Montesano over here in Huntsville, they're even little mountains. Those aren't even big mountains. They're not even mountains, except in name. But if you walked up and stood at the base of one of those mountains and said, in the name of Jesus, you be removed, go be cast into the sea. And Montesano or Green Mountain jumped up, ran across the lower United States, and threw itself into the Atlantic. How many of you know I'm impressed? But even if you can literally do that, if you don't have this love, it doesn't count with God. This is a faith church. We're faith people. We spend a lot of time on faith here. But listen, you can have enough faith to literally move mountains. But if you don't have this agape love, the Bible says you're nothing, a useless nobody. God help us. For time's sake, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 13. There was more scriptures I gave them, but we'll have to skip. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Just put it in the NIV. It's too late at night for that many words. 1 Corinthians 13:13 in the NIV. I'll read it to you. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is greater than faith, without which you can't please God. We need faith, because without it, we can't please God. But it doesn't work without us walking in love with people. Love is what activates and energizes and causes your faith to work. Now listen, the Lord never does this with me, but he did today. It's very unusual for me, but while I was preparing today, the Lord told me there's somebody in this room or listening to my voice who's been struggling with an illness. You've really tried to use the word against it, but you haven't yet seen the results that you desired. But the reason you haven't is because you're out of love. Not just with one, but there are several people who are on your list, meaning they annoy or provoke anger in you. But hear me tonight. You must forgive to get the healing you need in your body. And I sat there, and the Lord said, I can actually take that back a layer further. The reason those people are annoying you so badly is that you're depleted spiritually. Because you're not doing number one. You're unable to do number two effectively. Because you're not spending time with God and loving him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, spending time in his presence, getting built up, you can't effectively do this. They're on your nerves because you're spiritually depleted. Because you're depleted and not full spiritually, people are annoying you. You're out of love with them in your heart, and that's keeping your faith from working on that which is attacking your body. Now, the illness is making you tired and cranky on top of it, which makes it even harder for you to put up with people and walk in love with them, because now you're cranky and tired in addition to just being depleted because of the effects the illness is having on your body. And you feel like you're stuck in a cycle that's escalating downwards quickly. Listen to me. Forgive. Get full so that the people don't annoy you so badly. And you'll begin to see the change in your body and that which has gotten out of control within it. Are you hearing me? I wrote it down because I don't get these very often. And maybe I shouldn't have read it. I should have just told you because it was powerful when it was all over me when I was writing it. He wants you to be free. He wants your body healed. But you gotta forgive. And in order to forgive effectively, sometimes you gotta get tanked up on God. How many of you know you can come out of God's presence and it don't matter? You know what I mean? Sometimes you can come out and you've been drinking of his spirit and you're like, God loves me. And I love him. Woo-wee. It wouldn't matter what anybody said to you in that moment. Why? Because you're full of God. You're full of God. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. I want us to look at verse 25 in the Amplified. This is where we're going to end. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father, who is in heaven, may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. How many of you want your own shortcomings and failings dropped by God? Then you know what you got to do. You got to drop it. You got to leave it. You got to let it go. Listen, when you realize what that offense is keeping you from, you'll be quick to forgive. Why? Because you ought not give anybody that much power in your life to short circuit and cause your faith not to work. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care if they were to drag us out of this church into the street and try to kill us for preaching the gospel. We have to forgive. Because if not, we're letting them come between us and God. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God tonight, somebody is letting somebody come between them and the healing they so desperately need in their body. You've got to forgive, not for their sake, but for yours. Maybe next week we'll talk a little bit more about how to forgive and what to do, and we'll just see. I don't know that for sure, though. We'll see. But let's pray. Father, we come before you right now in Jesus' name. Father, I have delivered tonight that which you placed on my heart. Father, I know you desire for them to have everything they need. You desire for them to be able to access with their faith all the promises and the provisions you've made in the Word for them. Health for their body, peace for their minds, happy marriages, you know, kids serving you, peace, whatever it is that they need, finances. I know you desire, Father, that they have everything they need to live a prosperous life, even as their soul prospers. Father, I ask you to help us. Father, as a matter of fact, right now, in Jesus' name, forgiveness is a choice. We choose to forgive. We can choose regardless of the temperature of our heart. And so, Father, we choose with a cold act of our will in the face of any emotion to the contrary. We choose to forgive out of obedience to you for your sake and for our sake, so that our faith will work and we can receive everything with our faith that you provided through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son. Help us, Father. I know when we decide to forgive, your grace kicks in to help it be so, to bring alongside the emotions to back up our decision. And I thank you for it. Father, if there's anybody that we've not forgiven, I ask you to quicken it to us right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, with a cold act of our will, and right in the face of perhaps emotion to the contrary, we give that person and that offense to you. We let it go. We let it drop. And we give it to you. Father, I know that it'll never be right what they did. Forgiveness doesn't mean they were right. Forgiveness just means we're not going to let it hurt us anymore. So we give it to you, Father, and we release it to you. We release that person to you, and we trust you to make it right for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Is there anything you want to add?